Well, if you have your Bibles this morning, I'd like for you to turn to Hebrews chapter 6. This morning in our Bible study, I desire to encourage every one of you who has come to faith in Jesus Christ by showing you how you can have full assurance that the grace of God really exists in and upon your life. Last Sunday, we saw in Hebrews 6, verses 4 through 8, that there are some who profess faith in Christ, but they are deceived. They are deluded. They have an assumption that the grace of God is upon their lives, but it is not. I told you last Sunday that that kind of message built upon verses 4 through 8 is not easy for me because I have such a high view of the sovereignty of God and what He does for sinners, and that salvation is a work of God, that I am uncomfortable calling upon people to look at themselves to see whether or not there is any evidence of God's grace. But you have to do it if the Scripture calls you to do it. This morning, I come to a zone of greater comfort, because in the text that we're about to read, the writer of Hebrews, whom I believe to be the Apostle Paul, tells all of us that we can have full assurance that God has saved us. We can live our lives without ever doubting the grace of God in and upon us. And in our text, he shows us how. Let's begin reading in Hebrews chapter 6, beginning with verse 9. But beloved, we are convinced of better things concerning you, and things that accompany salvation, though we are speaking in this way. In what way? In what he has just said in verses 4 through 8. Verse 10. For God is not unjust so as to forget your work and the love which you have shown toward His name, in having ministered and in still ministering to the saints. And we desire that each one of you show the same diligence so as to realize the full assurance of hope until the end, so that you will not be sluggish, but imitators of those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. The first thing I want you to see from these few verses that we just read is this: a full assurance that God has chosen to save you is possible to possess. It's found there in verse 9. But beloved, we are convinced of better things concerning you. Now, what is it that the writer of Hebrews is convinced of regarding these early Hebrew Christians? What are these better things that he's convinced of about them? Well, if you go back and you look at verses 7 through 8, the writer of Hebrews parallels those who assume that they've received the grace of God but don't have it with land, that when it rains, it doesn't soak up the rain, it doesn't bring forth a crop, only thorns and thistles. And you see in verse 8, the writer says, this land is worth being cursed, is good for nothing. The writer of Hebrews goes on and says, but we are convinced of better things for you. In other words, he says, I am convinced that you have received grace, that you are the people of God, that God by His Spirit has changed you, has delivered you, has saved you. Now, this word convinced that he uses is the same word that is used in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12, where the Bible says, "For I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep me." The word translated persuaded there is the same word translated convinced in our text. In the same manner that Paul was convinced that Jesus could save him, he was persuaded and convinced that the readers of his letter were saved, had received grace. Now that leads me to say this. Some of you may have grown up in a tradition where you were told it wasn't wise to have assurance that God saved you. Some of you may have grown up in a tradition where you were constantly told that you should doubt whether or not the grace of God was upon your life. You were warned that you could fall from grace. You could have it one day and lose it the next. And so all of your life you really struggled with this idea of being assured or persuaded that God had saved you. Now, if you grew up like that, all I can say to you is this. Your tradition is contrary to the teaching of Scripture. Because in the text that we just read, verse 9 of Hebrews 6, the Apostle Paul says he is absolutely persuaded and convinced that the readers of his letter have received grace. And he knew them. He knew to whom he was writing. Now, I could say the same thing about you this morning. You could say the same thing about yourself. The question is, how do you come to this assurance? How do you arrive at this blessed persuasion that the grace of God is in and upon you? How do you know, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that God has chosen to save you, that His favor rests upon you, that Christ died for you? How can you have full assurance that you are His? Well, our text tells us there are three key indicators that God's grace abides upon you. And these three key indicators of grace should give you full assurance. Let's go through them one by one. The first thing that the Apostle Paul mentions in Hebrews 6 and verse 10 is what is called your work of faith. Now take a look at verse 10, where the Bible says, "For God is not unjust so as to forget your work." Now every time I see the word work in Scripture, I always get this insecure feeling that I might have missed something. Particularly when the Bible says, "God is not so unjust to forget your work." I think to myself, well, good night. I know God is just. But I also know my performance. This verse doesn't give me much assurance. If work means performance, it doesn't. But the truth is, the word work here doesn't mean your performance. In fact, the word work is in the singular. It is not plural. It does not say works. It says work. Now, what work does God not forget in you? It's the work of faith or belief or trust. This is the entire message of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 3 reminds us that the ancient Hebrews did not enter into the land of promise because they did not trust God. They did not believe Him. They had no faith in Him. We read, in fact, in verse 19 of Hebrews 3, the Hebrews were not able to enter rest because of unbelief. That's why in Hebrews 4 and verse 11, the writer of Hebrews says, "Therefore, let us labor to enter into His rest." In other words, you've got to work to trust. The hardest thing you will ever do in your life is trust God. It's easy to think you can do it yourself. But to trust God is work. Now the Bible says that God is not so unjust to forget your work. And the work referred to here is your work of faith. Now, to show you that I know what I'm talking about, listen to this verse in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 3. The Apostle Paul writes to the Christians in Thessalonica and he says, "We give thanks to God for your work of faith." You see this theme throughout Scripture. This is the evidence that the grace of God is upon you. You trust Him. You believe Him. And when the Scripture says He died for you, you trust it. You believe it. You accept it. You cast your soul upon it. And God is not so unjust to forget your work of faith. That's the evidence, the first evidence, that the grace of God abides upon you. Second, your labor of love. It's found there in verse 10. "For God is not so unjust to forget your work of faith and the love which you have shown to not only the Lord's name," but look at the last part of verse 10. "The love that you have shown in ministering to the saints." Love to whom? Listen to it. Love through ministering to. It's not only something that has been done by these Hebrew Christians in the past. It's something that they continue to do and are still ministering to the saints. Listen, this second evidence of grace is what Jesus referred to over and over and over again in His public ministry. We saw it in our study of 1 Corinthians chapter 13, where we looked at this great chapter called the chapter of love. We see it in Jesus speaking to His disciples when He said in the book of John, by this love that you have, will everybody know you are my disciple? Love is the key indicator of grace. And hear me. If you are ever involved in a church that doesn't love people, good night. The grace of God is not present in that church. Love is the indicator of His grace. I read on MSN this week the incredibly shocking story of a church where the pastor had been stabbed by a deacon, and a fight that broke out over the worship pastor who had been given his last paycheck and told his services weren't needed anymore. And then within the congregation, the worship pastor's mother got into a fist fight and the pastor was stabbed. And it was, I think, called the Church of the New Welcome. And I'm thinking, good night, if that's the kind of welcome you want, stay away. Listen, before we get on churches, let's talk about our homes. The evidence that Christ has saved you and the grace of God abides upon you is love in your heart. It's not that your home is perfect. It's not that you've never experienced divorce or the pain of abandonment. It's not what we're talking about. This world is full of pain and heartache and sin. We are talking about the presence of agape love in the hearts of people who have been graced by God. You end up loving even your enemies. It is totally unnatural to the world, but it is one of the signs of the presence of God's grace. Third, the Scripture tells us in this text that the third indicator that the grace of God abides upon you is your steadfastness of hope. The Scripture says, "For God is not unjust to forget your labor of love, the love which you have shown toward His name." Now, what does this mean? Well, names in Scripture mean far more than names today. A number of people don't recognize that in Bible days, a name represented character. And when you praise somebody's name, you were praising their character. To love the name of God means that you love His character. Meaning, your hope, your only hope, your steadfastness of hope is found in Him and His character. For example, you say to yourself, if Jesus really died for me, if He bore the penalty of my sins, then my hope, my anchor, is found in the character of God. For how could a just judge ever punish two people for the same crime? My sins punished at Calvary means they will never be punished in me. This is your hope. Do you see that your hope and the steadfastness of it, as we sang here in this first service, is found in the character of God's name? I have a hope before His throne. It has nothing to do with me and everything to do with Christ. In fact, we'll see in a couple of weeks that this is why Jesus is called the anchor of our soul. He is the anchor of our hope. It is Christ alone that carries us along when we struggle in this life. He, the character of God and His name, is my hope. Now watch. The third and final thing I want you to see is this. Diligence in hearing God's word and applying it bring the indicators. Now let me pause and remind you that God saves you. The question this morning is not how to be saved. That happens by God's grace as He opens your heart and your mind to see the beauty of His Son, and by faith you trust Christ. We're talking this morning about the assurance that the grace of God in you is real. The three indicators of His grace: your work of faith, your labor of love, and your steadfastness of hope. Look what verse 11 of Hebrews 6 says, "And we desire that each of you show the same diligence so as to realize full assurance." Now, this is a powerful verse. Let me unpack it just for a moment to remind you what it is saying. This word, diligence, is the same word, or I guess the way to put it would be, it's the antonym of the word sluggishness. The word sluggishness is used in Hebrews 5, verse 11, where the writer of Hebrews says, "I am concerned that some of you are sluggish or dull of hearing the word." And it's almost like when he gets to this place of expressing his concern that some are dull in hearing the word of God, he then stops for a moment and says, the reason is, some of you have never tasted of the grace of God. You may profess that you're a Christian,
but you are falling away from God. You have never possessed His grace. You are not diligent in hearing the Word, in loving the Word, in applying the Word to your life.
But in verse 11 of chapter 6, when he's giving us full assurance, he says, "My desire is that you not be sluggish or dull of hearing, but that you be diligent to realize full assurance. That you not be sluggish," verse 12, "but you be imitators of those who through faith and patience inherit the promises." Now what is the writer of Hebrews saying? Where does your work of faith, your labor of love, your steadfastness of hope come from? How does it arise? How do you experience it? You experience it from hearing the Word. You read, you hear the Word, and what Jesus has done for you comes home to your heart and you believe. You read what Jesus says about love, and the Spirit of God convicts you of your anger or your bitterness or your resentment. And when the Spirit convicts you through His Word, you find yourself changing from the inside out, and your anger is supplanted with love. You read the Word and you realize that your only hope is God and His character, and you remain steadfast. And what happens is, as you study the Word of God and it becomes your life, your bread, your source, full assurance arises. By the way, if the Word of God does not impact you, if the study of God's Word and the reading of God's Word doesn't make an impression upon you, if there's a dullness of hearing and a sluggishness of heart, you need to go back to the very beginning. You need to go back to the place of grace, to the foot of the cross. You need to ask yourself the question, have you truly believed? Have you come to Christ? Have you received Him as your Lord and Savior? Because when the grace of God is present and you truly receive Christ, your work of faith abides. You don't fall away. Your labor of love continues. Your steadfastness of hope in the character of God remains. Now, if you're picking up on this, you see that the three things I've mentioned are the great trilogy of Scripture. For example, listen to this verse, 1 Thessalonians 1, verse 3. The Apostle Paul is writing to the Thessalonican Christians. Listen to what he says. "We give thanks to God, constantly bearing in mind," listen to the language now, this is a different book, "your work of faith, your labor of love, your steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus." Now look at the last phrase, "knowing His choice of you." Do you want full assurance that God has chosen you, that He has saved you, that His grace abides upon you? Do you want full assurance that our sovereign God has chosen to adopt you as His child? Do you want full assurance? Here's how it comes. Your faith, your love, your hope. Notice, not one time has church attendance ever been mentioned. Not one time has how much money you give ever been mentioned. Not one time has whether or not your marriage survives ever been mentioned. Not one time has your kids are never in rebellion been mentioned. Not one time has your performance in this life ever been mentioned. Your work of faith, your labor of love, your steadfastness of hope in the character of God, this is full assurance. Some of my worst days as a Christian, some of my worst times of experiencing God, sometimes become the greatest days of my assurance that His grace abides on me. Because the only place that I can ever turn is to my faith, to my love for people, and the name of God, and my hope that His character will sustain me when I cannot sustain myself. Full assurance comes through the great trilogy of faith, hope, and love. Let's pray together.